1640, Junius Columbanus, 698. When we lay in Centro Luce, wretched and undone we were, all we saw were purpose suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless place, such it had been, but the grace. Hymn number 1040.
Thank you. as the Lord shall help me, I would direct your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a temptation I've had in resting upon this text. I hope the Lord gave it me. One of the greatest trials of my preaching or attempting to preach is having a text in time for the service. But the Lord knows, and it is only as we come dependent upon His Spirit we have these glorious invitations in His Word. They're not universal. In other words, they're not to a universal people, but they are to His chosen people. And they feel far from being Jehovah's choice, but they find this. They'll do everything in their possible powers of wisdom and strength to alleviate themselves from their trials and their problems and difficulties before at last they come to Him. Oh, how we have to prove in our pathway how foolish and slow of heart we are to believe in God. But we must believe in Him to be enabled to come to Him. For the Word declares, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of those that shall diligently seek Him. Our opening hymn spoke much of the I Am. How we can see our Maker's handiwork in creation. How much more do we see the majesty and the holiness of God in this work of grace in sinners' hearts? It is by their fruit ye shall know them. And what are these fruits before a sinner comes to Christ? Why, their fruits meet for repentance. There is a godly sorrow for sin. There is the burden of sin. There is the solemn realization, except the sin, that we are guilty of, except those sins are pardoned, then it'll be woe unto you and woe unto me. But what a mercy that the Lord Jesus Himself draws you. He draws you to the mercy seat. And Paul was unable to say, let us therefore come boldly in the liberty of the Spirit, that is, that holy boldness, to the throne of grace, and that door of mercy that stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. The trouble is, we're seldom poor enough and needy enough to come to Him. But you will come, and you'll believe that He is able to save you. And this is that is vital. The Lord to save you. Peter knew what it was to plead for the Lord to save him. And so did each of his disciples. There was that vital need of the Lord to save them. Save me, says the psalmist, for thy mercy's sake. It's not anything in us that deserves to be saved, but because the Lord has chosen you, and he will draw you and me and bid you come to him. So it is Jesus that is speaking these words to a poor sinner who is so defiled from head to foot and so much in darkness and despair. And yet he knows that if his sins are not pardoned, then hell will be his eternal lot. Now the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Oh, what a mercy then that the Lord governs their ways and their affairs. And he says here, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. We, as a little denomination, really are despised and rejected of the denominations of religion in our land, so-called religion. And you see, dear friends, we, through mercy, are favoured to have amongst us that are babes. We are made teachable as little children by the Spirit. And oh, what a mercy to have that childlike spirit. The big I am has got to come down. The Lord brings down our hearts with labour that we fall down and there's none to help. And it's when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. What a mercy then, dear friends, if he hath brought you and me to his feet and you poured out your very soul, and it won't necessarily be in multiplying words, but it's with a broken-hearted petition. O Lord, I am oppressed. I felt much earlier today to be oppressed. The devil seemed to let loose at me in a most terrible, tempting way. And I had to bid the Lord's help to continue. I seemed to do my job mechanically today. But oh, how we proved the power of the enemy. And we've no might against this great company. The devil's agents let loose upon you and stirs you up where you would be quiet and peaceful and alone. The enemy comes in not lightly but like a flood. And oh, what havoc can a flood cause naturally? How much then can this spirit of the devil coming in like a flood cause havoc in your poor breast, and you're troubled and you're burdened, and you try to pray and you seem everything is blotted out in prayer, in trying to pray. Oh, the enemy, what a wily, powerful, dreadful foe he is, and he is as the prince of the power of the air. What wisdom have you and I to match him? And so you're brought into that despairing situation, pleading ultimately for the Lord's help. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. You're heavy laden. You are burdened. But the Lord has said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Can you? Can you? You can't cast your burden upon the Lord until he pours upon you that spirit of grace and of supplication, and lead you to view Christ and realize how he was often tempted and tried, and yet he was suffered greater lengths and breadths and depths of temptation than you and I will ever be called to suffer. But then, you see, he is able, and what a mercy, he is able. He endured unto the end with strength enough and none to spare. But he is able in that he has trodden in these deep paths and these deep waters, that he's able to succour you, friends. He's able to sympathise and have compassion upon your needy, never dying soul. And he bids you come. Oh, what a mercy to have this invitation. You that are heavy laden, you that are burdened, you that are cast down, you that are so oppressed, you that are so stirred up by the Spirit. All these things you cry out are against me. But all these things, dear friends, you'll prove in the end are working together for your soul's good. He teacheth you. It's by these things men live. It in these things is the life of your spirit. What does he say then to these sinners that are coming unto him, that labour and heavy laden? I will give you rest. One of the shells and wills of Jehovah, there will be an end of all these trials. Trials must and will befall, but with love inscribed upon them all, says one, this is happiness to me. You see, if you and I knew nothing of trial, nothing of tribulation, where would there be real prayer and real concern and real desires for the Lord's presence? So the Lord brings down your heart with labour. You fall down and there's none to help. You're minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. These three things, dear friends, that come into your path and mine. He causeth it to come. And is there not a cause, dear friends, for the Lord to bring these things upon you? And is there not a purpose in it? His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste. Now, the bitter things, dear friends, that my dear one and I are passing through at the moment, I couldn't divulge it. Wouldn't be prudent. But they're the things that cause you to pour out your heart before God. And these things seem to lay heavily upon you. You see, there's a balancing of the clouds. The bud may have a bitter taste. And all those sweet hopes you'd had in a matter seem to be dashed to pieces. And there's not a glimpse of hope now, you feel, of that coming to pass that you once hoped in this particular thing. But you see, the Lord knoweth the way that we take. You're not walking alone. You're not treading a new path that no other person has trodden out. Jesus knows the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All chosen vessel unto honour, you're coming to Christ. In the midst of the sorrows of the way, you find him to be your refuge and your strength. What a favour. What a great mystery it is. But what a favour, what a privilege that the Lord has that door of mercy standing open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Burdened, labouring, heavy laden. Grievous burdens to be borne, sinner. Oh, how you find then there is this throne of divine grace, the door of mercy ever opened, and the omniscient eye of God is upon you. He knoweth the way that you take. He's trying you. You know, if your faith is not tried, it's not living faith, it's presumptuous faith. There are many have faith of a sort, but the faith of God's elect, friends, is trusting in him. And though the Lord slay me, says Job, yet will I trust him. The Lord knoweth the way that you'll take. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. And he says, did he not say to Moses, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, Joshua, and his dear people down through the ages. My presence shall go with thee. And though it's a pathway, and you'll find you're in those darksome paths, in the depths, of sorrow, depths of trial, depths of darkness and distress. I am the Lord, I change not. All the stability of God in it all, the faithfulness of God, I change not. Though he hides his face and you're troubled, and this dreadful foe comes in like a flood. But you see, the Lord is going to have your faith and mine tried. Faith, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. But still the Lord is the same, and still he will answer those prayers in his time and way as you come unto him. It's looking to Jesus. It is pleading the merits of that sin-atoning blood that is able to blot out as a thick cloud your transgressions and your sins as a cloud, and bid you one day return unto him, for he has redeemed you. And oh, as you come to him, so in mercy he grants you the application of a promise. He says, when you're passing through the flames and the floods and the flames, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. And what a comfort that is to a tried child of God. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. My presence, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will give you rest. You may have to wait for it. Be patient and steady. And wait on him still. It's tarrying ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And you feel a little of that rest. Resting what? In his everlasting love. He shows you tokens and evidences for good. All the favour then, dear friends, for a bestowed upon a child of God, as he comes as a beggar poor, knocking at mercy's door. According to your sins, he would be justified in casting your souls into outer darkness, but through mercy he has opened up a new and a living way for these chosen vessels to follow therein. And so he says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For there is no God or Saviour beside me. So he's pricked you in the conscience and given you that concern as to the welfare of your soul. And you come as a guilty, weak and helpless worm. One thing the late David Field at Staplehurst said on a dying bed, he had been brought there as a guilty, weak and helpless worm. He didn't know what sin was much before then, he said, only in the letter. He was brought there into that low state, in deep affliction, and he came there with that prayer, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arm I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. I believe the Lord heard and answered that prayer. His soul is now in heaven. That's the prayer, dear friends. A feeling exercise to come to the Lord as a guilty, weak and helpless worm. The trouble today is so many are full of self-righteousness and religious pride. But the Lord will deal with his chosen vessels. They're not rest in any pharisaical spirit, but they'll be emptied, they'll be poverty stricken, and they will be poor in spirit, and they'll be found hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, and they'll come to him, object of my first desire. This is a coming sinner. You're lifting up your eyes to Calvary. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one yet to come. So it's looking to Jesus on Calvary's tree. You come there. You look upon him whom you have pierced. And oh, my friends, if you have a revelation of Christ on the cross on Calvary, It'll bring down your heart with labour. You'll be found as a repentant sinner. You'll be found confessing your sins. You'll be smiting upon your breast, heavy laden and burdened, and pleading with the Lord for God to be merciful to me, a sinner. And none will be sent empty back, dear friends, that comes pleading mercy for Jesus' sake, because the Lord draws them by that sweet, resistless grace and bids you come. And it's coming to Jesus. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. And so you come with these large petitions, this guilty, weak and helpless world. You not get very high in your feelings. You not be full of self-righteousness, but you'll be, on the contrary, you'll be as nothing. You'll be as a burdened sinner, and you will seek the Lord that he might come where you are. You know that man that fell among thieves, he was brought into that helpless condition, and that good Samaritan came right where he was. Now Jesus will come right where you are. He reacheth forth his arm to save you. Oh, what a mercy that the Lord reigneth. And the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and makes himself known to them that are his. We prove that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh, have we felt it in our guilty, sinful condition, under that deep conviction of our sinnership in the sight of God? You come with your emptiness and your poverty. You've got nothing to bring but a loathsome lump of sin. Behold, I am vile, says Job of old. You know, this is the only way I believe we shall ever get to heaven. It won't be coming with anything acceptable in the sight of God. It will be coming in our deep poverty and our sinfulness and our vileness. Job knew what it was. The Lord showed him. I'm not saying you'll always feel these feelings, dear friends, but you'll not only be able to say, you're a lip won't confess from the lip that you're a sinner, but you'll feel it. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but all to feel. And there be occasions, I'm not saying continually, if I know a little of it, not continually, but there be those occasions when sin hangs heavy upon your breast, and you'll pour out your soul before him and plead with him that he would say unto your soul, I am thy salvation. You see, he is that strong deliverer to save you from death, destruction and despair. You see, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And you and me, dear friends, mourn, well, if you're like me, you'll mourn much over your forgetfulness and neglectfulness of this God and his word. We seem to be so often, and especially in this day in which our lot is cast, we seem to be like Martha. There seem to be so many, many things to attend to. And oh, how we lose sight of that Mary's condition. Mary hath chosen that good part that which shall, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. All those sweet moments when you feel him to be needful. Not that we're without hope, friends, but as I said, in the busy scenes in which our lot is cast, and I'm sure you find it the same, whether you are still labouring for the meat that perisheth, or even in a retired condition, it seems to be in this speed of this world, ever things are ever getting quicker and quicker. more and more to be done in a day. And yet we're brought to realize, are we not in it all? Like Martha, careful and troubled about many things, but there are these occasions. These moments may be when you're brought to feel that cutting deep beyond expression as the Lord sends a word, an arrow of conviction into your very soul. And it's pricking you in the conscience. How does the case stand with you and me? How will it be with you in the swellings of Jordan? And that solemn awareness of being ye also ready, for ye know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. And these things, dear friends, find an abiding place on occasions in our heart for a little season. And then we pour out our souls before God and plead for that love and blood and righteousness of Jesus to be applied to our souls. A promise sealed there. A sweet assurance of our sonship and daughtership with God, that we might feel a little rest, a little peace, a little quiet in our breast as Jesus reveals himself to you and says, Son, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Daughter, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And if the Lord gives peace, who can make trouble? And so a poor sinner will be found here, laboring, friend, to enter into that rest that remaineth of the people of God. My friend here tonight knows what it is to labor in word and doctrine, and it is a labor. Some seem to be able to flow out so freely in speaking things, but I wonder, dear friends, how much burden of the word of the Lord is in their heart before they come. Or how we need then to be amongst these labourers. Whether you sit in the pew or stand up in his name, it is labouring to enter into that rest that remaineth. Much opposition you'll meet in following Christ, but he says, I will give you rest. And them, and they that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And he goes on, the Lord does, about taking this yoke upon you. Oh, this is that a yoke of profession. Some would refer to it as the yoke of profession. Some would take it on as the yoke of the company of Christ, as the burden bearer, as the one that shares all your sorrows and your griefs, and he shares your joys. Oh, what a mercy to have Christ as your friend, as a brother born for adversity. You see, the heart knoweth its own bitterness, but a stranger intermeddleth not with its joys. But the Lord does. He knoweth all his disciples. He knoweth all their characters. He knoweth all their concerns. He knows their down sittings and their uprisings, and their thoughts afar off, sinner. So whatever your state of mind is tonight, friends, he knoweth your thoughts afar off. What a wonder-working God he is. What a blessed Saviour he is. And what a blessed Comforter he is in the form of the Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed Trinity in unity, how effectual they are in saving our souls from going down into hell's fire. The mercy is that the Lord reigneth. And he is able to restrain Satan in spite of all his wily powers and attempts to undermine that little work of grace begun in your heart. But he that hath begun the work in your soul will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so he says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And he gives power. He gives you power sometimes in prayer. He gives power to you when you're ready to faint. He holds up your goings in his paths, that your footsteps slip not. And the paths of those, dear friends, justified by faith shall be as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What a perfect day it will be, dear friends, when that day dawns that you and I will prove this. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We cannot begin to fully value or understand it. We believe the record of God's word, that he spoke even to that dying thief, it was today, and there will be a today with us each. And oh, what a mercy if it's we shall be given that rest on that day. It's appointed of God. It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death a judgment. All that today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And so that heart of that dying thief was softened. Lord, remember me. What a prayer. He came, dear friends, I believe he was one of these labourers, and he was heavy laden. He knew that he justly deserved the punishment for his sins, but this man, Jesus, had done nothing amiss. He had heard of the fame of Jesus, doubtless. He must have done, dear friends. I don't wish to have any supposition in speaking in his name. It's a thing that is an anxiety to me, that men let themselves slip into supposition. We must not read in the word of God that is not there. But we believe this: if the Lord was there on that dying with that dying thief and another dying thief that perished, but this one was brought to repentance, all short work and yet a perfect work performed on that 11th hour on Calvary's tree. Oh, we do humbly hope that we have had that work begun before then. The Lord knows how to deal with each of his dear children, but they'll all know what it is to come to him. It is looking to Jesus. It won't be looking to self or anything perfect. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Mercy, join with power. All to have the eyes of our understanding, that we might look upon him and see those wounds, dear friends, that he hath received in the house of his friends. What a softening influence that would have upon us. We should come, dear friends, with weeping then, wouldn't we? And with supplication, as we see what our sins have done to him. Or there he'll bring down your heart with labour then. You'll know what it is to sow in tears then, that you might reap in joy. And you'll know what it is to realise this, that weeping will endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And oh, what joy there is in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, rather than 99 that have no need of repentance. The Lord has said, I will give you rest. He says, they shall not seek me in vain. Oh, what a mercy to be a seeking soul. These are those that come to Jesus. Seeking souls, asking their way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, seeking a portion for their soul, seeking to know and read their title clear to mansions in the sky. And there be found knocking, asking, seeking and knocking, that the door of mercy might be opened unto us. You see, there were 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins, professors of religion. 5 of them were also possessors of that vital godliness. They had vessels with oil in. Their lamps were burning. They didn't go out. They didn't turn back. The lamps didn't go out. And when the others came, the door was shut. The door was shut, friends. Oh, what a mercy if the Lord has quickened your soul. It's all of His grace to quicken you and make you to cry unto Him, laboring and heavy laden, that you might enter into that rest that remaineth of the people of God. He has bid you come. Oh, that He might reach forth His arm then and draw you, cause you to come, cause you to cast your care upon Him. And then through mercy there are those that are drawn by the Spirit to testify what a Saviour they have found. Come all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what He hath done for myself. Well, some of us have been led that way. All reluctantly we've come, but we have been enforced to come to the sinner's friend. And the Lord has not sent us empty back. Oh, blessed be His holy name. He has not sent us empty back, but He has favoured us with those tokens and sweet evidences. And though oftentimes we are brought into oppression and affliction and sorrow, ye now therefore have sorrow. Days of darkness are many for the child of God. He walks by faith. But in those days of our espousals, we believe we knew a little of the Lord drawing us. And I believe to dandle us upon His knees. Oh, how I look back a little, if I was rightly ordained of God to preach the word in those early days, how He seemed to draw me along. There was always a text, it seemed, to be ready before the service. What a difference now. But the Lord has not failed me yet. It's we fail Him, I fear. But He says, it is, come unto me, and we shall ever be found coming unto Him. He'll not leave you and me to be self-sufficient in our professing the name of Christ. We go in the strength of the Lord, we make mention of His righteousness and His only. We come as sinners. We come as burdened sinners. It is sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. He says, I will give you rest. And you'll find no rest for the soles of your feet, dear friends, in this present evil world, will you? I know you're lawfully caught up in it, some of you. But oh, what a burden it is. And yet the Lord keeps you. He said, I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but that thou should keep them from evil. And that it is by His Spirit, dear friends, alone are we kept. The Comforter comes and testifies to us of Christ the Lamb. And though we mourn over our shortcomings and our failings in our following Him, it is as we are kept, and it is as the power of God is bestowed upon us, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we come to the close of the day oftentimes, and sometimes we feel like this. Lord, we would thank Thee in our poor way for those preserving mercies. We have been preserved from dangers, sometimes seen, but I believe a good many unseen. The Lord's delivering mercies, seen and unseen, in our pathway, in answer to our poor, feeble, private devotions. We know not how to pray, but His Spirit maketh intercession for us, and this is our mercy. The Lord prayeth for each and every son and daughter of God is here, of His. You may mourn over your feeble prayers, I do over mine. We shall never be satisfied with their prayers, never should be, if we're rightly exercised. But you know what I mean when I say how we do feel our prayers are so feeble and faint. But our mercy is this, that like he prayed for Peter, so he prays for each and every son and daughter of God who is purchased with his precious blood. He said to Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And so it is with his Peters and his Pauls, with his Timothys, and with his Ruths, and with all those whom he hath chosen. Whatever their name is, the Lord knoweth them by name. And so, through the mercy of God, he has said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And what a mercy when the Lord doth convert sinners, when the Lord revives sinners, and when he favours them to be enabled to feel that their heart or their soul is as a well-watered garden, and they're enabled to speak of what they hope the Lord has done for them. They know what it is to say, O bless the Lord my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine, for he has heard and answered prayer. Oh, who then is a God like unto this God? The God-man Jesus Christ, God that is a spirit in heaven, the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, he is faithful that promised, and sends his dear Son into the world to redeem you from the curse of the broken law. And now that he has ascended on high, is led captivity captive, he hath received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now he dwells with him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now his judgments will cause you and me to tremble. But oh, what a mercy that the Lord will deliver his dear people from these judgments. And he will sanctify to them their trials, and trials make the promise sweet, we're told. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet to lay me low and keep me there. It's waiting upon the Lord that you might renew your strength. And this is the Lord omnipotent that reigneth, who has these everlasting promises that are bestowed upon his dear sheep, who hear his voice, who follow him, and he gives unto them eternal life. Come unto me. Oh, here's the invitation, sinner, as you come to him and cast all your care upon him. Peter says, humble yourselves before Almighty God, that ye might be exalted in due time. Oh, it's that being exalted in due time will be an exercise to you as the years slip by. Shall we be exalted to heaven? He says here most solemnly about Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Then thereof are the ways of death. How the Lord speaks solemnly to Capernaum, that city which was exalted to heaven. But oh, how we would be found humbling ourselves before Almighty God, that we might be exalted in due time, casting all your care upon him. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy needs supply. I will all thy burdens bear. Or do we know this burden bearer? Do we know this mighty Saviour Jesus? It is then the prayer of the child of God, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Speak peace and pardon to me, Lord. Come and assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear witness with my heart that I am born of God. Ye must, says Jesus to Nicodemus, that wise master of Israel, ye must be born again. Oh, how ignorant was Nicodemus, and oh, how ignorant are you and I. But the Lord will teach you, and he'll teach you to number your days, and he'll teach you to profit, and he'll cause you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. He must increase will be your experience, and you'll pray for it. O Lord, do grant that thou mightest increase in my felt sense of the desires of thee, to know thee. We want to have those increased desires, don't we? To win Christ and be found in him, counting all things else below as dung and dross, that you might win Christ and be found in him, not having your own righteousness, as is what Capernaum had, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for his people. Has he given himself as a ransom for you to pay the price of your sins? Remember this, the word of God says that without the shedding of blood there could be no remission for sin. Without remission of sin there be no heaven but a sure and certain hell. Oh, how we need then remission for sin. How we need sin to be pardoned, to be blotted out as a thick cloud. For if sin be pardoned, I am secure, death hath no sting beside. But all that it is vital then to know this, Jesus crucified for me. The law gave sin its damning power, but Christ, my ransom, died. Oh, what love has Christ shown! This is a true sense of his expiring love, dear friends, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And this is a commandment to a sinner. Come unto me. You may be reluctant to pray, but oh, my friends, prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designed to give. Long as they live should Christians pray. For only while they pray they live. Oh, that the Lord might command you to come unto him. And oh, how we have to prove, could the creature help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Are you one of these despairing sinners? Here's hope for you, sinner, to come to Jesus. All ye, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give you rest. Oh, what a mercy that there is a rest that remaineth of the people of God. There is that heavenly land afar off. Oh, and Jesus has gone there to prepare a place for you. And he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there shall ye be also. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And the promise is, friends, I will give you rest. May he bless these few remarks to our soul. Amen.
Sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus for this world. more than me or angels can. Bring no money, price all, no good deeds nor pleasing price. Mercy never can be bought. Grace is free and all surrounds. Hymn number 1044.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.